Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and Jeff Benedict is the best-selling author of 17 nonfiction books. He's also a film and television producer. He's the co-author of the number one New York Times bestseller, Tiger Woods, and the book was the basis of the Emmy-nominated HBO documentary Tiger, which Jeff also executive produced. And you've got a new book, LeBron, I'm Going After King James. This is exciting stuff that is out now. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and it's a real pleasure to be on with you and talk to this audience.
Well, thank you so much. All these guys, whether it's Tiger, Tom Brady, LeBron James, it's a particular fascination with the military and active duty military and veterans, of course. But hey, before we get into LeBron, of course, we just watched Tiger withdraw from the Masters. Is he done?
I don't know. I mean, Tiger, I don't think anybody knows. I don't think Tiger knows. So I can't say. But I mean, you know, he's obviously in a lot of pain at the Masters, but he's played with a lot of pain before,
right.
And he's been playing with pain now for a couple of years. It wouldn't surprise me if he resurfaces and plays in more majors, but I'm sure right now he's really considering whether he can keep doing it with screws in his leg. You know, that's the main thing.
Yeah, and the other thing that I got from your book about Tiger is he doesn't want to participate in anything that he can't win, right? He wants to perform to the best of his ability, and if he's not able to do that, he just doesn't want to compete.
Yeah, if he doesn't think he actually has a chance to win, he's not going to hang around. And I think mechanically he still has all the skills. We know he does. He's not that old for golf. I mean, he's 47. That's not too old. But his body, there's parts of his body that have gone through like 100 years of living.
Oh, yeah.
And, it just remains to be seen how much longer he can do it.
Well, hey, let's talk about this new book, LeBron. You did, you conducted over 200 interviews, including with those who have been very close to LeBron since before high school. Does he still maintain some of those relationships?
Actually, it's not some, it's all.
Wow.
LeBron is fascinating in that way. He grew up very lonely as a very young child. He spent a lot of time alone. Didn't have many friends. And when he started to get friends, which happened after his mother made a very tough, and I would say courageous decision to allow her son to move in with a different mother and father in Akron after fourth grade when LeBron missed about 100 days of school. And
oh, wow.
There were a lot of things going on. He moves into a house with a family called the Walkers. They take him in. They have three kids of their own. They treat LeBron like the fourth child or their second son. And it's a major turning point in LeBron's life. And that's when he starts to really collect friends. And he joins youth basketball league. Mr. Walker, who took him in, Frankie Walker, put a basketball in LeBron's hand for the first time.
Oh, man.
It's a major turning point in his life. And that's what leads to his great high school team, which the kids that he meets in youth basketball, they all go to the same high school together. They win a national championship. LeBron is still best friends with those kids on that team. And then the other kids that he met in high school, Maverick Carter, Rich Paul, Randy Mims, they're his inner circle to this day. Hmm. They've been with him since high school. One of them is his agent, Rich Paul, who's now the biggest agent in the NBA. One of them is his manager, Maverick Carter, business partner, I should say, and one of them is his chief of staff, Randy Mims. So LeBron remembers people. He keeps them close. He's been really good about choosing his company. He chooses good company. And just this, I'll tell you, is when he broke the scoring record in Los Angeles 2 months ago,
right,
topping Abdul-Jabbar, one of the people sitting in the arena that night was Frankie Walker, the guy who put a ball in his hand.
Wow.
Back when the ball hit. And oh, that just shows that LeBron... Yeah, LeBron remembers, and he quietly does stuff like that. He didn't promote that. He didn't advertise it on social media, but that's just the way LeBron is.
Man, that's so cool to find out. We're talking to Jeff Benedict here in the National Defense, his new book, LeBron. Jeff, you have a great knack of really humanizing a lot of these legendary icons. I mean, you think about LeBron James and not just basketball anymore. I mean, it's everything,
right.
Social media, business, entertainment, political. And where do you start? I mean, when you dive into a book like this, I mean, how do you start peeling back the layers?
I describe it this way. In the beginning, it's like looking up at a mountain that's so big and so high that you can't see the top of it because the top is in the clouds.
Right.
And it's intimidating, you know, just trying to figure out what's the path to the top. How do you get there as a writer? And that's because his life is so substantial and significant that it requires a tremendous amount of thought at the beginning. I spend probably a year putting together a timeline of when I do someone like LeBron or Tiger or the Patriots story. I spend about a year constructing the timeline of the story. And in LeBron's case, the timeline was, it was, 100 pages long and, you know, in a Word document. And probably 40,000 words in length. That's not a doc. That's not a narrative. It's a timeline.
Right. Right.
And it just indicates to you the scope of the person's life. But that timeline becomes the basis of the narrative. It becomes an outline. It eventually morphs into an outline and you look for scenes that you can connect to each other so that you have a thread line that runs through the story, because people don't want to read a book that says on, you know, December 2nd, 1923, Johnny was born.
Right.
And turned three, you know, and on his third birthday, he got this present. You need stories and anecdotes that run the life course. Like, right. Here's one actually that would appeal to your audience in particular. I was thinking of this before we got on the air. You want scenes that people don't know about also.
Right.
And here's one.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. When LeBron's at the height of his fame, the team is, you know, they're on the road. They're traveling for road games, and they're in Oklahoma City, and which is one of the more remote places in the NBA. It's
right.
Actually kind of, there's even an NBA team there, right?
Right.
And the team is in the airport, which is, you know, not unusual that you have layovers or whatever. They're in the airport. They're all together. They have security around them and staff. And there's a group of military veterans that had just gotten off a plane, and they're in uniform, so fatigues and stuff. So you know who they are. They look like maybe they're National Guardsmen, but they're coming through the airport. They recognize LeBron, which isn't hard to do.
Right.
And it's very clear that one of them wants to take a picture with the team. Most of these guys have no interest in doing that. When I say guys, I mean the players.
Yeah.
They get approached all the time. They're tired. You know, they're in. When you're in the airport, the last thing you want to do is get up off the floor.
Sure.
And pose pictures of people. But LeBron sees that they're military, and he knows what they want. And he goes and gets all the players, his teammates. He's like, come on, guys. For these guys?
Wow.
And he orchestrates the whole thing. You know, he orchestrates it right there in the airport, and not just for this guy, but for the whole group of military that were with him. And they get the big group picture. LeBron puts it all together. It's the kind of stuff you don't read about it in Sports Illustrated
or
ESPN. But for those guys that were coming through the airport, the veterans, like, they loved it. You know, it was like, it was a great moment for them. And LeBron does stuff like that. Like, he's very attentive and intuitive about stuff like that. Like, he didn't need the guy to come over and say, hey, can we get a picture? He knew what the guy wanted.
Yeah.
He also knew his teammates were tired. But he was like, but we should do this, right? You guys should, come on, let's go. This will be fun. And take a moment.
It's so cool to hear those kind of stories and to know that about LeBron, because, you know, we get to see the overall picture, right? We get to see anytime he makes headlines. And, you know, you talk about in the book, all of the different decisions, which teams, and when he, I remember when he left Cleveland and what a big deal, and he came back. And so to have this kind of a book that, that really kind of gets into weeds with LeBron and finds out about it, I can't wait to read this thing. This is going to be great, Jeff. And it's out now, right?
It's out now. It came out Tuesday, and it's chock full of anecdotes like that, including hard ones. Some of them are tough. You know, there's ones, there's inspiring ones, there's funny ones, but they're all in there.
I love it. Hey, man, thank you so much for the time, Jeff. Really appreciate it, and best of luck with the book.
My pleasure, and thank you for taking the time.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.